This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back, top of the hour. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. What a power hour we've got coming up for you right here. Of course, our best bets. Max Goodman's going to join the program from the NewJersey.com. Talk all things Metropolitans and Yankees. Wes Reynolds, our Wednesdays with Wes coming up here as we break down the John Deere Classic. But we do have breaking news to get to. We talk about NBA free agency. Maybe it's not the sexiest right now, but John Collins has agreed to a three-year deal. This is worth $51 million. Shams Charania, of course, doing a great job breaking this story over there at ESPN. So this will be a good front court addition and a new lob threat for one Cade Cunningham, Shams tweets, in Detroit. Detroit, by the way, is drifting in the marketplace, even though with this addition, they are 9-1 right now, tied with Miami as the fourth betting choice to come out of the East next year. But they do get John Collins away from Atlanta. Atlanta, by the way, is 25-1 to win the East. Well, it's time, Jensen, as we like to do each and every week right here on the network, to get to things that are going up and others coming down. Yes, another rousing edition of Stock Up and Stock Down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's Stock Up, Stock Down.
Jensen, on this Wednesday, you have won the coin toss and you have elected to receive. Who is your first candidate to go up?
Well, David, it's been an absolute just wonderful time listening to the international flavor of the commentators in these football games. The beautiful game and the quality of the conversation has been one that will go down as one of the great experiences in all of the World Cup. Finding a way to get our friends across the pond inundated with the United States and just listening to these people. I know we've had the National Football League go across the pond and hear some of our great friends. I know our jefe, Steve Cohen, was giving us a couple of the gentlemen that have talked and done great broadcasts on Westwood One on the radio calls. But, man, it has been so cool to hear all of the different international flair. And I told you before, I'll say it again, the vocabulary of these people, it just feels like it's never ending of how they describe the action. So Stock way up, international soccer commentators, keep it coming all the way through the final of this World Cup.
I think it was Idris Elba who in The Wire, if you ever watched that show on HBO, like he's not American. He's pretty like does an amazing American accent, right? You could pass, Jensen. You might be able to go over there and do work as a Euro in movies, and they would be blown away to find out that you're from the good old US of A. Speaking of, that's my first Stock Up. It's American soccer. Like, it's the actual soccer. Like, I think we knew. I don't think you and I are surprised necessarily at how good of a job we're being as the host country. But to get the actual soccer part to be at least close to the hosting capacity. Because I think for a lot of people, we thought that's all we're going to be in this World Cup is just a host. And we're not going to be talking about the quality of play from American soccer. This is kind of cool. Now, we just had Anthony DiMondo on. Again, please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen. He said he's nervous for the match against Bosnia-Herzegovina. Why are you nervous? Because our expectation level is through the roof all of a sudden. And we look like on the biggest stage that we, if we're not equal to the task, we're at least in the room. We're in the conversation. We're being thought of seriously now in international soccer. Now, let's see how it plays out the rest of the way. But to this point, to be having realistic conversations and a reason why you said you bought in at 35-1 to win the World Cup with a chance to hopefully monetize, there's a reason why you make that investment. Because all of a sudden, American soccer is not a punchline. It's a real thing. And America, you should take pride in that. I mean, we talk about every other sport here, and even hockey, taking that over from Canada. To be able to do this in soccer on this stage, kudos to the red, white, and blue. We're being taken seriously in the world of soccer.
Time to take the fish seriously, Dave. Only one team since June 1st has won 20 games in Major League Baseball. The Miami Marlins are here to stay, my friend. How about a 20-6 record since June 1st? A 3.01 staff ERA. That leads Major League Baseball by about 0.7 of a point. 3.18 is Detroit's ERA. That is the second best ERA in that span. Miami nearly under a 3.00. 222 strikeouts in 230 innings, and their offense has actually been pretty darn good too. How about 5.7 offensive wins above replacement, good for fourth best since June 1st. They have found a way to really cause a lot of havoc, not only in the base paths, but with runners in scoring position. And when you think about a team that traditionally has been one that is used to, at this point, looking at pieces to sell at the trade deadline, it is the opposite of that. They are going to be buyers the way that they're going right now. And Dave, if the playoffs were to begin today, and they don't, the Miami Marlins would be tied with the St. Louis Cardinals for the final wildcard spot in a National League wildcard race that sees the Cubs, the Phillies, the Cardinals, and the Marlins technically in, but only 4.5 games separating. And if you want to include the Pirates, let's say it's 5 games separating 8 teams for 3 playoff spots. What a wild race we will have. And stock up to the hottest team in baseball since June 1st, the Miami Marlins.
I'm feeling pretty good about my plus 750 ticket to make the postseason, and certainly my over 72.5. They are doing the job that I thought they would be able to do. Road trips, they're way up here in this great country of ours. And it's not just, you've seen all the international players and fans coming over here, and you see the road trips they've been taking across this country. And I implore you, if you have the means to do so and the time to do it, do it. Get on the road and go. I'm getting ready to do another one. Can't wait to drive back home, to get back to Virginia Beach. I've made this one a couple times. It is fascinating the different perspectives people are seeing. And the soccer has brought them here. And then to see their trials and tribulations on the road and how much they're enjoying the United States of America everywhere they've gone, this has been a revelation. But we here in the United States, don't take it for granted. They're all showing you how beautiful our country is. So whether you're going to go on a road trip, do a baseball trip. It's fantastic, America. Just get in your car and drive and check it out. I'm telling you, the stock is way up, not only for our country. Check it out on your own time here, people. See it with your own eyes. It's an absolutely beautiful country to just drive around and explore. Road trips, my friend, this summer and this 4th of July, they are way up. Jensen, what right, goes up does sadly come down. What's coming down for you?
Well, they may be down and out and in more ways than one. Germany's national soccer team. Oh, boy. An article written at ESPN.com by Rob Dawson begins with this statement. This was an era-defining result. And for playing in their first World Cup knockout game in 12 years, for Germany to lose, and there's still a lot of controversy about the VAR goal that was disallowed after it looked like Germany was going to survive in extra time. They lose on penalty kicks to Paraguay, but it seals a fate that basically has left Germany on the outside looking in of the superpowers in international soccer. I don't want to go too much farther than that, other than you've got teams that have found their way even through adversity. Not the case for German football. It is the third elimination in a row after the first stage of the knockout round. Yikes. This is a bad, bad spot for German national football.
When our breaking news is John Collins has been signed by the Detroit Pistons, that kind of tells you where we are with NBA free agency. It's not sexy. And I thought the league had done a really good job of kind of captivating the offseason, kind of the way the NFL has done as well. But now, because of the way that they've structured contracts and the like, free agency, you just don't let these guys get to free agency. Trades are still interesting, of course, but the actual free agents, if LeBron James, if this is what, 3.0, 4.0, or you know, the new decision, if we're still talking about LeBron as the big coveted free agent, it kind of shows you where it is overall. Free agency period, just the interest of it, it's way down from where it used to be. That is for sure.
I have a real problem with etiquette, Dave, as you know, when people do not exercise what is logical and what is respectful. And people that are slow walkers in front of you in a narrow corridor or on a sidewalk and have just no care in the world whatsoever, get out of the way. What is the problem with people that just all of us, they're just looking around, la-di-da, like, get out of the way. We got places to go. You New York people know exactly what I'm talking about. Have a little etiquette. Go to the right side of the sidewalk or the right side of the corridor. Or hey, in an airport, if you're on the moving escalator, move over. This ends my TED Talk.
They're on their phones, Jensen. They're not even paying attention. They're just they're walking aimlessly on their phones, and that's why they're obstructing your walk. The Metropolitans, look, it's tough. I'm looking for any glimmers of hope with this team. There's no pulse. There's no manager. There's no leadership. And really, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for leaders, especially when times are tough. And they don't get a whole lot tougher than they are right now for the New York Metropolitans. Who are you, Francisco Lindor? Who are you, Juan Soto? I need you guys, the guys that get paid the most. I know that's not for everybody. That's your job. I'm sorry. When you get paid like that, your job is to lead. And if you can't, we should find other people that can. This is a disgrace, what you're doing day in, day out in the great city of New York. To that end, we're going to have Max Goodman join the program next, talk all things New York baseball, including the Yanks. Boy, the sky might be falling there as well. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And we're getting to that time as we turn the page into July, get closer and closer to the trade deadline. Of course, we've got the Midsummer Classic coming up. Going to start breaking down a lot of these teams here and kind of do some progress reports with people that know these teams the best. Max Goodman kind of joined the program, NewJersey.com, Mets beat reporter. Give him a follow on X at Max T. Goodman. You're the first guy I thought of, Max, when we started to go down this road, because as a long-suffering Metropolitan fan, I was hopeful that this year would be a much more pleasant conversation that we could have at this time of the year. Max, what have you seen day in, day out? You've already fired the manager there in Carlos Mendoza. We know that the interim guy is going to go back to the front office, so that's not really what the future is going to hold. What does Steve Cohen and company do now? Is it too late to turn this year around? Are they already looking to next year?
Well, first off, thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good morning. I think that if you ran 100 simulations of how this year would go for this ball club, because I do think that there's talent in this room and they made the right decision to remodel this roster, this would be one of the five worst results, just in terms of injuries, unforeseen circumstances, but then also a lot of the poor decisions that the front office made, a lot of the inability from the coaching staff to bring the best out of these players. It's really been just a disaster across the board. You can point your fingers in a lot of different directions. So what should the goal be moving forward? I mean, look, they're one of a handful of teams with 50 plus losses at this point. They're so far back in the standings. It would take an otherworldly comeback to get back into relevance when it comes to the playoffs at this point. I think you bring Andy Green in to be the interim manager. He now has a unique look as a person who's going to return to the front office to evaluate these players. And over these next couple of months, obviously the trade deadline is important context here. Get as much value back as you can for some key players, certainly the ones on expiring deals. and start to think about how you can contend next year. Because again, other than some sort of historic turnaround, and we haven't seen this team play well consistently to indicate that that will happen, the season is reaching a point where you're going to start to wave the white flag. I don't think that's cynical of me. I think that's just being realistic and looking at the standings and where this club is at.
No question, Max. Eric Chavez on line one about his thoughts on David Stearns and the performance that he's had so far. That is for another show at another time. Speaking of the assets that could possibly be on the move, it is wild to say that when you made the Freddie Peralta acquisition, or at least the Mets did, that we could be in a conversation now of flipping him at this trade deadline. Is it Peralta from the rotation, and will they listen, particularly on Devin Williams and Luke Weaver in the bullpen? What are the trade assets you hear at the moment that are getting the most run in the marketplace?
I think we have to remember the fact that with the expanded playoffs, there aren't going to necessarily be that many pure sellers. I think that these last couple of years, it's clearly been a seller's market. Now, whether or not the Mets try to get ahead of that remains to be seen, because it sounds like they're still trying to hang on as long as they can with the resources and the money invested in this ball club. They want to try to sneak back in, but it's obvious that the players on expiring deals, AJ Minter, Brooks Raley, Freddie Peralta, Clay Holmes has an opt out. Those are the types of players that it would be foolish not to move, or at the very least listen to offers. It gets more interesting for me. You mentioned Weaver. I feel like he might end up being their most valuable trade chip. And that's a decision the Mets need to make in terms of, is he going to be a part of your next championship run, which would be in 2027? And I know the lockout and how things might change is, you said it earlier, that's for another show maybe. But there are some other players that have control beyond this season that you could get more in return because they're going to be under team control for the club that's going to go out and get them. Also, a Luis Robert Jr., who has a club option for next year, would you give him $20 million if you're the Mets to stick around for next year? I don't know what his trade value would be, but with the phenoms in the outfield, you don't want him to come back from the injured list and take starts away from AJ Ewing. So he's another player that I would consider moving if I'm the Mets too.
What about the elephant in the room? And that's Bo Bichette. And it felt like, you know, just looking at it, boy, this is going to be a great piece to add. It has not worked out so far, at least in his young Metropolitan career. Is it going to extend past this year? Or would that be a guy they'd realistically be looking at and saying, you know what, it's just not working out. What's the point of holding on to him?
That's a fascinating situation. I can't recall off the top of my head that type of spot where a player is making that much money. I mean, $42 million. I don't know if he's going to get that on the open market. And again, we preface with how the lockout and payroll changes and restrictions might alter what a player like that could get out there. He could certainly seek out a long-term deal with another club if he were to test the open market and opt out. But he has started to play a little bit better. I just think this might come down to whether or not he sees the Mets as a place where he can excel moving forward. Maybe this was a byproduct of, he was with one organization his entire career. He came in, the losses were piling up, the whole season was spiraling around him. And every time he'd look up at the Jumbotron, those numbers were ghastly. And he was trying to do too much, clearly pressing at the plate and really not looking like the Bo Bichette of old, who's the back of his baseball card suggests he's one of the best pure right-handed hitters in all of baseball. So we've seen a little bit more of that version of him over these last couple of months, but still a very disappointing season for him and a whole lot of players across this roster.
No question. Max, from Queens to the Bronx, and still some issues that even the Yankees, just a couple of games out of first place, but on a six-game slider facing. Cam Schlittler gets lit up in the first inning last night, three home runs that he surrenders. Tarek Skubal and the Tigers trounce the Yankees 9-3. Just a 30,000-foot view in your eyes of what we've seen this far. This is still one of the best teams in the American League, but issues that the Yankees trying to overcome in your eyes right now.
Well, look, when I covered the Yankees for the last several years before coming over to the Mets beat this past offseason, so I've watched this club have issues in June before. That's not necessarily an anomaly. And I feel like even the best teams do end up having these skids over the course of a summer. No ball club is immune to those kinds of bad stretches, certainly when injuries to future Hall of Famers and key pieces of the starting rotation are going to happen. Other than yesterday, Schlittler's been unbelievable, right? A Cy Young frontrunner, I think it's fair to say. So there's a lot to like from what we've seen from the Yankees, but also maybe we're getting an indication that there's still work to be done with that club. And every year we see Brian Cashman and the Yankees be aggressive at the deadline and try to shore up that roster, maybe fill a couple holes and bolster any weaknesses that they have. I'm sure that they'll go out and address the bullpen. The bottom of that order has definitely been a weakness. And at a certain point, you get Max Fried, you get Aaron Judge, maybe you get Giancarlo Stanton back. You figure out who's going to be productive in the catcher spot on offense. And the American League is wide open, right? I mean, if they're able to get hot at the right time, it's their pennant to lose as far as I'm concerned.
You know, Max, it's interesting because you have that vantage point of covering both teams now. And, you know, I look at it kind of from these different tentacles that when you get Aaron Judge back, you get it. He's got the C on his jersey and he's the captain and lead by example. It comes from the Jeter way and comes from Thurman Munson and, you know, decades of Yankee baseball. Then I look at the Mets and I go, well, Steve Cohen said, we're not going to have captains here. Who are the leaders right now when things are bad? It's easy to lead when things are good. Who's the leader right now in this Mets team to say, we know what it would be like over there for the Yankees. What about for the Mets when things are going south?
Well, I think that was in part the risk of making that many changes. Remember, they overhauled their coaching staff other than Mendoza. Now he's not around anymore. And other than the key veterans that have been around, Soto and Lindor, they brought in so many new faces. And this team had to take some time to gel together, that mix of vets and also some phenoms coming up for the first time. I did write a big story a couple of weeks ago about how Juan Soto has taken steps forward and is doing more behind the scenes in terms of welcoming the young players in, making sure everyone feels comfortable. But I know that this was a story going back to last year, which obviously I wasn't privy to the clubhouse in 2025 in terms of the relationship between Soto and Lindor and who was leading behind the scenes. The challenge is to bring the best out of this group, and they have a payroll approaching $400 million. The expectations in New York are to win. We heard owner Steve Cohen say it in spring training that he's fed up with the product over these last several years. He wants this team to be a perennial contender. So somebody's got to be at fault, right? In terms of who's getting to blame, it's the manager was replaced. But at the end of the year, I think a lot of this beyond the leadership comes back to the front office and who's pressing the buttons, who's making those decisions, because this team was not necessarily put in a position to succeed. And who's responsible for that? I feel like in a lot of cases, it comes back to the architect, and that would be President of Baseball Operations, David Stearns.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one to pin it back to, and I think for very good reason. Max, it's not easy, but it's still fun covering baseball, even though maybe a little bit of a down year here for those Metropolitans. We appreciate the time here today. Give him a follow on X at Max T. Goodman. Check him out, NewJersey.com, Mets beat reporter. Great stuff, as always. All right, when we come back, we're going to get to our best bets here that we have and certainly break down the John Deere Classic, and I believe you're going to bet the build, and I've got a couple guys to watch. That is all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
This 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do here at VSiN, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription. 1 week only, you get the opportunity to get 2 full years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's access through July 2028 at nearly 70% off the regularly monthly price. So you're going to get our NFL betting guides, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, season preview, and VSiN Pro feature that we're going to release over the course of the next 2 years. Don't wait. This 4th of July offer will disappear after July 7th. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. At VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, one of the best offers that we're going to give over the course of the next 2 years as it comes in time here for the 250th 50th anniversary of this great country. One of the things that we love to do, it's we're a betting network. We absolutely love to wager, and we love to wager on golf. We're going to have Wes Reynolds join the program in the very next segment, break down the John Deere Classic. You know, we ran that story with Jordan Spieth today, and it seems to have caught on. Let's just say this. JVT was a great guest that we have each and every week. Check out Beeson by the Books podcast. You can hear it. He quote tweeted it and said, not one member of the golf media followed up with a question to Spieth about his FanDuel partnership. We've got a partnership with FanDuel. We don't hide from it. Absolute insanity. And he's a massive hypocrite. Again, Jordan Spieth might have stepped into it saying, oh, the reason why Wyndham Clark is being booed at the United States Open was gambling. It just seems like, boy, that's the lowest common denominator in a debate or an argument as to what is causing some of these fans to if you want to say, jeer players. And now we're just going to blame gambling for that?
My thoughts stand. Encourage you to go back and like and follow our By the Books podcast page. If you do have thoughts, you can obviously reply to us on social media. Also, Dave, want to put it out there. If you have, you know, any additional bets you like or great wins, bad beats, email us, buythebooks@vsin.com. I know we have been trying to inundate a lot of people that are our audience members, both listening and watching, wherever you may be. We get great feedback, including on just this example, as you mentioned, about Jordan Spieth and JVT, very much within the realm of logic here of how the media, and we hammer the media when they don't do their job. How do you not follow up, and how do you not have the presence of mind to say, well, hold on here, Jordan, aren't you a partner? That is something that will certainly be addressed here moving forward. But again, I would highly encourage you to email the show, buythebooks@vsin.com. We will read some of the best submissions on air in the coming weeks and months as we get a lot of you involved in our programming here. So Jordan Spieth obviously has the floor if he'd love to come on and do an interview with us. We'd be happy to ask, you know, what he felt and what he goes through on a week-to-week basis. I would also welcome Wyndham Clark, who has said, hey, you know, I'm ready for it. If it's going to be a hostile environment, I've gone through it. I know how to handle it. So we'll see how it moves, especially here at the John Deere Classic, Dave, moving forward for Jordan Spieth and company.
Yeah, I mean, we had Matty Fitzpatrick and Cameron Young going at it, and it became a Ryder Cup field. Nobody blamed gambling. I mean, come on, Jordan. That's just a silly, silly area to go here and blame everything on gambling. But speaking of, in that John Deere Classic, we've been knocking out our two to watch each and every week. If you're in placement markets, I think I've got two more for you this week that you're going to find at some pretty prices that you might like. It's Little Denny McCarthy week. I am big on Denny this week. I also found a top 10 that I like at close to 5-1. Denny McCarthy is a play you can get at 2-1 for a top 20. Jackson Suber, I found it almost 3-1 this week for top 20 picks. If you haven't been paying attention to what Suber and McCarthy have done, just go back to last week. Both these guys putting themselves in the mix, and Denny, really good to see Denny McCarthy playing back again. He's never won on the PGA Tour. I think not only this week is he a really good play for a top 20 at solid plus money, I think Denny McCarthy is going to be around on this Sunday. One to watch. Can he finally break through? Don't know about that for sure. But if you want to take a stab at 55-1, as I've done as well in the marketplace, 60-1s out there, I would encourage a little pizza money play on Denny. Jackson Suber is a really talented young guy. Went through qualifying to get to the U.S. Open. And boy, he seems to be showing up early in weeks here on leaderboards as well. Wouldn't mind a little first-round leader play here on a guy like Jackson Suber, playing really good golf at this juncture. I grabbed top 20s on Jackson. Did take a flyer pizza money here at about 60-1 to win this tournament as well. Those are two of the guys that I'll be targeting a lot this week. A couple of head-to-heads out there. I gave you two of these this time last week, and we cashed both of those as well. Remember, this is for the tournament now, not just for the first round. I'm going back to Sungjae Im. This guy's been printing money for me here lately. I'm going to play him against the Gim Reaper. I know this is a golf course that Doug might be able to go low on. I don't know if he can do it for 4 days. And Sungjae, to me, is a guy that's playing very consistent golf right now. I'll take that consistency at $1.05 price point here over Doug Gim. And JT Poston at plus money against Jackson Quaven, who's making his professional debut. Now, this is a really talented young player in Jackson Quaven. And if he goes out there and making his professional debut and gets a top 20, I'll tip my cap to him because I'm pretty sure that's where JT Poston's going to be. So I'd love to see the story, but I'll play against the narrative this week. And the young guy, give me the guy that just won at Jack's Place not too long ago at plus money against the kid making his first ever official start here as a professional. I love that play here in JT Poston at plus $1.05. What are your bet the builds this week, sir?
Yeah, we start with FanDuel. And again, usually we shop at the top of where the big boys are in these DFS lineups. So we will go with two of the big boys in Ben Griffin and Chris Goddard up to start our FanDuel build. First of all, I understand with a lot of the namesakes, if you will, on the PGA Tour not being involved in this tournament, you're going to get some alternate pricing here. So no shock that Ben Griffin, Chris Goddard up, extremely expensive. But I think course history here, especially for Griffin, believe top five is where he was in 2024, four rounds in the 60s, strong ball striker, love his approach, very high floor for him and a lot of win equity that we can get with not only Ben Griffin, but also Chris Goddard, already two wins. We've really cashed with him early in the year. He's cooled a little bit, no top 25s in his last couple of starts, but in a weak field, Dave, you've kind of hit on it. It's time to go back to the well and get some of the guys that can really be able to give you an opportunity to be at the top there late into Sunday afternoon. How about Blades Brown? What a name for a golfer, right? But probably a good little value add. Speaking of young phenoms, how about the 19-year-old phenom? He's going to get temporary special membership to be able to play in this tournament. Tied for 14th at the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. Tied for ninth in Myrtle Beach and tied for third in Puerto Rico. He's a birdie machine with a high ceiling. The young guns usually thrive here at the John Deere. So we'll go with him. Max McGreevy also going to get in there as a value play, fitting the mold of players who pop in these weaker scoreable events. Love his approach and his recent birdie rate has been great. And then two value adds at the end here, Zach Pacow and Patrick Rogers. Again, lower salary guys, but you get a veteran, especially in Patrick Rogers, with solid approach and his putting profile is awesome. Makes a lot of cuts, cashes quietly in these events. So we'll good. We'll take the salary relief there as well. DraftKings going to be very similar, Dave, and we're going to get your guy, Denny McCarthy, into this bet the build here on our DraftKings side. Chris Goddard up also going to be right at the top there. So Goddard up and McCarthy get the start there at the top of the card. Sadarjan Yellamiraju, one of our great Scrabble additions, but also a good value, I think, in the DraftKings build. Strong approach, good birdie rate. Think he's a good contrarian play, Dave, in this field, as is Mac Meisner, who we're going to add in. Just saw him a week or so ago. He can perform well in these kind of events, and the mid-tier salary, I think, is excellent value at 7,800. Back to Blades Brown, too, at 7,600. And then Andrew Putnam, who we've used as a salary saver, veteran who has made a boatload of cuts, good approach play, provides that good floor that you need in these kind of builds. So those are two lineups, Dave, for FanDuel and DraftKings for this John Deere Classic beginning on Thursday.
I also do have a rest of the world bet with Sadarjan Yellamiraju at 14-1. So it takes out the Euros. It's a weak Euro field and takes out the strong American field. By the way, we do have breaking news here. NBA free agency does continue against kind of these lower level deals. Norman Powell has now agreed to a 2-year deal. So Storm and Norman, 45 milli with the Chicago Bulls, sources tell Shams at ESPN. Powell is going to join the Bulls as a potential scorer after an NBA All-Star season in Miami, averaging nearly 22 points over the last 2 years. So again, boy, you look at Miami, you get Giannis, you lose a guy like Powell. That's going to be interesting to see how they're going to replace some of those guys here if you're really taking Miami seriously. But for the Bulls, you feel that would be a nice little pickup there. 2 years, 45 milli to get Norman Powell into the Windy City. All right, when we come back, let's talk more John Deere Classic. Wes Reynolds does a great breakdown each and every week. We'll get his thoughts on who he likes here at the JDC. That is next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books, on this Wednesday. We look forward to our Wednesdays with Wes. The great Wes Reynolds joins the program as he does at this time each and every week to get us prepared for the PGA Tour event du jour. This is the JDC we're going to this week. Wes, of course, you can check him out. Long Shots is a fantastic pod with he, Kelly Bidwin, and Matt Brown. Wherever you get those podcasts, check that out. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Wes, happy Wednesday to you. I know this isn't the sexiest event on the PGA Tour, but it's actually a little bit deeper, I think, than people think outside of the big names out there. And I know for people like us that are real golf nuts, you can get into the weeds a little bit on this. Do you like these type of cards? Can you really try to find that deeper value here?
Well, Dave, Kenny Chesney once sang a song called "She Thinks My Tractor Is Sexy." And you're going to see a lot of tractors this week at the John Deere Classic, of course. So a lot of the Big Green Tractor, another country song, Jason Aldean. So we were actually going through this before Long Shot yesterday. There's a lot of songs about John Deere, and I like this event. I like this course. It's a scoreable course, but it's in a small market. It's there in the middle of the Quad Cities. And you do have a pretty good field this week. I know a lot of the big guns in the top 10 in the world aren't playing, but a lot of guys and a lot of stakes here, and you get the full FedEx Cup points and full money. So a lot on the line before they go overseas for that 2-week swing at the Open.
Wes, you mentioned it in the Quad Cities, equidistant, 165 miles west of Chicago, 165 east of Des Moines, and a population of 8,000 might be witness to a long shot winner here this week. How did you start to filter your card knowing we'll have some guys not traditionally shorter shots on the board, but with a weaker field, it kind of opens it up for maybe some more value atop that odds board as well?
Yeah, Jensen, I went a little bit longer this week. I didn't go with the shorter guys. I certainly didn't go with Jackson Koivin, who could make fools of everybody if you don't have him on your card and win this week on his PGA Tour debut, the Auburn University star that just won the national championship for the second time in 3 years. But I went a little bit below that. I started with a guy that played very well, or is starting to play very well, and was third at the U.S. Open, and that was Tom Kim at 35-1. It's been 2.5 years since he's won, but now he kind of maybe is starting to figure it out. He's putting together good finishes. The U.S. Open finish, by the way, was his best finish since late 2024. He's third in this field in approach with his irons. He's sixth in grid drive gain, so he's been very positional off the tee and very accurate. And all the victories have come in birdie fest on, like, shorter courses, Summerlin, Sedgefield. I think TPC Deer Run will fit that bill. And then right around the same price, with all the buzz around Jackson Koivin, well, the guy that was the Jackson Koivin 2 years ago was Michael Chorbornson, who is also at 35-1, because he was the guy that came out of the PGA Tour University accelerated program and got immediately promoted to the tour. And then in his third start as a professional, finished runner-up here at the John Deere. And he's had, I think, 4 top threes in the last 2 seasons. So he's been close to a victory on these birdie fests. So Kim and Chorbornson kind of in that mid-range is where I started out.
And again, not to say we're eschewing necessarily the Ben Griffins or the Chris Goddrups or the Cashmere Keys at the top of this card, but are those numbers just too short when you have what feels like, I don't know, you could take 30 golfers here, Wes, and kind of throw them in a bucket and pull a name out of a hat and say you can get some better value? Is that why you don't start your card with those guys in the short shots?
I just think that this is a wide open field, Dave. You said it. Like, any of these guys could win here. And, you know, certainly JT Poston is in the shorter range, and he won for us a couple years ago at 50-1. So all of these guys can win. You can make a case for Eric Cole and Jacob Bridgman and Jordan Spieth, although based on the earlier portion of this program, maybe not a case for Jordan Spieth on this particular week. Maybe it's going to be karma now that he's going to miss the cut after his press conference performance yesterday. But yeah, I'm eschewing a little bit of those guys at the top this week.
Okay. We've got three guys in your 60 to one range and up that really fascinate me, Wes. And of course, a guy in Jackson Suber who looked really great last week at the Travelers, Daniel Berger, not to be confused with the English Daniel Berger, but also Denny McCarthy, very high on Dave's card this week. Your assessment of those three at really higher prices, but maybe the value is much better considering where they are in this field.
Yeah, Jensen, Suber is just kind of a recent good performer. He's top seven in this field on approach, good drives, and proximity from 100 to 150 yards, which means that's your wedge play because that's what you're going to get to a lot of these greens. And I think that's the recipe to win here. He was the 54-hole leader 3 weeks ago at the RBC Canadian Open, then finished T4, third top four finish of the year. Also had one at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, which I think that has a little bit of correlation because that's a low-scoring TPC course. So Jackson Suber hitting his irons really well. Would be shocked if he's not on the first page of the leaderboard on Sunday. And then Berger and McCarthy. Berger's been a little bit off his game since he lost to Akshay at that playoff when Akshay caught him on the back nine at the Arnold Palmer. And since then, he's only got two top 25 finishes, but one of them was last week at the Travelers. And I think the putting, maybe it turned a corner. Maybe he got momentum on the weekend because the first two rounds up there in Hartford last week, he lost about 4.5 strokes with the putter on Thursday and Friday. But then he gained 1.2 on Saturday and Sunday. And he's first in this field on approach. When you take out the guys that aren't in the field, he is number one in terms of the rankings with approach. So Berger hitting his irons very sharply. And this is a guy that's kind of been inching to getting back in that winner's circle after he missed that 18 months with his back injury. So Berger, I think, pretty big price this week in this field. Same with Denny McCarthy or Denny McPutty, as we sometimes call him, because he's always so great on the greens. Like, he might hit it all over the place, but he's so great with the flat stick, and he's been consistent. He's made 14 of 17 cuts and with T14 at the Travelers last week. But I'm going based on, like, form here, and I'm going a guy that always seems to play well at this event. Last 4 years here, 11, 7, 6, and 6. So he's been in the mix here a couple times. He co-led the field, actually, in greens and regulation last week at the Travelers with Scheffler, Fitzpatrick, and Morikawa, who I believe finished 1-3-4 between them up there in Hartford last week. And these greens, not exactly easy to hit because they're a little bit smaller, 5,500 square feet. And these bent grass greens, too, they putt really pure. And Denny is still one of the best putters, I think, on the PGA Tour. So those guys in the 60 range, I thought made a lot of sense this week.
And by the way, you know me well enough, Wes, through the years, I do not cheat. And when I hear that yours in two of your plays align with two of mine, I get really excited about that. Jackson Suber and Denny McCarthy, big plays for me this week as well. I mentioned to Jensen, I did play an alternate market here, Sudarshan Yelmaraju, for rest of the world. And again, what that is taking out the Euros, and it's not even a strong European contingent this week that's going to be here at the JDC, and it takes away those Americans. Do you like to look at those alternative markets? Do you ever like to play those here? And I know they're more popular around major championship season time.
I do that a lot in majors, Dave, but I think that might be a decent way to get some exposure to some of these guys, because you mentioned Sudarshan Yelmaraju this week. He's one of those guys that has just been consistent all season, has not won, but it's kind of like, okay, just plug away, plug away, plug away. And then, you know, boom, there's a win. And we see that all the time, I think, especially this time of year on the PGA Tour, when maybe you don't have the top end of the field. Like, there's another guy played this week, Rio Hisatsune, at 50-1. That kind of fits that too, because it's like he's making every single cut everywhere he goes. He hadn't missed a cut since like the first event of the year. And I know there's no cut event, but I think, you know, this event tends to reward consistency over the years where guys have played well, but they haven't, like, you know, broken through and won. And then you see it, like you saw it a couple of years ago with Davis Thompson. Then you saw it 2 years prior with JT Poston. So you'll see it with these guys. So that's another good way, I think, to play with all the variety of golf betting markets that we now have on a weekly basis and not just for majors.
Great stuff, Wes. Last one from me. It is Team USA tonight against Bosnia. I know you've had a watchful eye on the World Cup thus far. Your assessment of the boys in red, white, and blue, does this thing get done in 90 minutes, or do we need extra time, dare I say PKs, to advance to the round of 16?
I sure as heck hope not, because I don't want to be stressed out tonight watching this, because now I'm all into it. Now it's like, man, we've got a legitimate team. You know, we've looked good. So I think they get it done in 90. Don't mess around. Do what France did and put a team away and don't play for penalty kicks.
Amen, brother. Wes, you're the best. We appreciate your time. As always, check out Long Shots. It really is a fantastic pod. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds and the number one. Okay, if you want more VSiN, and of course, we all know that you do, all you have to do is go over to FanDuel Sports Network, and you can go to VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. We've got a numbers game coming up next. We're going to talk a lot more World Cup. You know that. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. They're going to have the bear. Chris Felica has got his World Cup plays. They're all for you next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.